Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $20 on the Steel MS-162 or MS-170 chainsaw. Real Steel. Offer valid through June 30th, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Women they belong in this. They're involved in this. They're part of organizations who are seeing their value and continuing to hire women and create that representation.
Welcome into a special episode of the NFL on Fox podcast. I'm Dave Hellman, and we're jumping into your feed a day early this week. Not to fear, our regular Thursday show is still coming. We got plenty of NFL draft to talk. We're going to bring Bucky Brooks back to dive into further this 2024 NFL draft. But like I said, you never know what we're going to do or what we're going to come up with. That's why you should be subscribed on Spotify, on Apple Podcasts. Go subscribe to the YouTube channel if you haven't, at NFL on Fox. You never know when we're going to put stuff out. We got good stuff for you all off season long, not even necessarily just on the regular days. So like I said, a special episode of the show here because we got a chance for some FaceTime with one of the most interesting people in the NFL community. That would be Cleveland Browns assistant wide receivers coach, Callie Brownson. In her second year in that position in Cleveland, also a trailblazer in the football community at both the college and the pro level, the first woman hired to a position coaching job in the NFL just a couple years ago, and at the forefront at the diversity movement in bringing women into coaching in the NFL, a movement that we've seen grow healthily over the last few years. Had a chance to talk to Callie about that, not to mention her history in coaching, what got her into it, who got her started, as well as a very interesting Cleveland Browns wide receiver room. Check out our conversation with Callie here. All right, Callie Brownson, Cleveland Browns assistant wide receivers coach. Thank you so much again for hopping on because, as you said, this is a really busy time of year for you. The Browns offseason program starts April 15th, so we're just a little less than 2 weeks away from things really picking up here for the spring. And I'm just kind of curious. And I think the answer here is different in every NFL building, but for the coaching staff, what does this time of year look like for y'all? What are your days comprised of?
Yeah, well, we obviously just wrapped up free agency and that whole process. And a big part of this process now is the college evaluation process. And then also getting ready for the players to come back in a couple weeks and start the offseason program and kind of start to build that foundation for the 2024 season. So it's an exciting time for us because you obviously have new additions through free agency and then what's going to occur after the draft. But then you're also getting the players back in the building and getting back into the mechanism of installs and football and getting back to that. So it's a fun time of year for us, an exciting time of year for us. It's the opportunity to set the tone for the 2024 season.
That balance is what I wanted to ask about. You mentioned the college evaluation. So, I mean, there's a lot going on at once. I have to imagine you're simultaneously giving feedback on college players while also, you know, getting the schedule ready, figuring out what you want practices, OTAs, things like that to look like. How do you kind of juggle those two things of prepping for a draft as well as making sure the offseason program is successful?
Well, one thing I've learned about this profession is we have to be masters of time management no matter what time of year it is. So that's really what it is. To your point, it's a bit of a juggling act. And it's you know, putting everything in buckets. And if this is the time to sit down and crank out college evaluations, then that's what that is. If it's the time to get ready and make sure what we're ready to put in front of the players in 2 weeks, then that's what you're focused on. But it is a bit of a juggling act. But, you know, I'd say, you know, this crew has been really organized in our attack with that, you know, getting ready in that process before combine and then coming back from combine, finishing up those evaluation processes and then, you know, focusing towards, hey, the players are going to be in the building soon. You know, let's get the install preparations done. So, yeah, it's a big time management juggle for sure. But I've been really, really excited with how organized that process has been with us, at least in our building.
So for anybody listening or watching that's not aware, Callie is a football trailblazer. You were the first female coach hired to a Division I coaching staff in college football at Dartmouth. Also the first person, first woman hired as a position coach in the NFL. And a fun thing about following your journey is I think, you know, and it's incredible and it's cool to see you, you know, break those barriers, but it's also been, you know, a minute since you've done those things and you're kind of settling in. I'm curious as you settle into to coaching in the NFL and just getting, you know, acclimated to that, how have you seen representation change? How have you kind of seen this grow over the years where maybe it's not as new as it was a few years ago?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. I remember when I got hired at Dartmouth, we didn't really know that I was the first. I think in my mind, even I had assumed that there had been another woman who had coached in Division I. And so that actually kind of lit a fire in me. It can't have been 2018 and we haven't had a female coach at the college ranks. We got to get to work. We have to get more representation. You know, the work that the NFL was doing with the women's forum at the time was getting more women involved in the NFL. And I just felt like, especially in that year at Dartmouth, what can I do to encourage other college coaches to take this on and to see the value in adding women? And Coach Tevens was a massive pioneer in that as well, in finding ways to talk to his colleagues, even in the Ivy League. And the Ivy League since 2018 has hired the most women in coaching positions. There's been women at Princeton. You know, it's been really cool to see that part too. And then, you know, for the representation part, I think Sam Rappaport and the crew at the NFL has done a phenomenal job with the NFL Women's Careers in Football Forum that takes place usually at Combine, aside from the COVID years. And that has helped grow this thing significantly. So you're not just talking about women in coaching, you're talking about women in scouting, women in operations, women in equipment, women in video, all of these different facets. There's been a hard push and an emphasis to create a pathway where these women get in front of decision makers, NFL decision makers, to increase their opportunity to develop connections and develop that relationship to ultimately get these positions. So I would say in the last 5 to 7 years, it's been overwhelming in such a positive way how much representation has increased and the message that it's really sending to say, like, women they belong in this, they're involved in this, they're part of organizations who are seeing their value and continuing to hire women and create that representation.
It feels like the way this often goes is, I mean, it's clear, and you know, I've covered the NFL since 2013. It's very clear how much progress has been made. It's also very clear how much there is still to go. What do you think is the next step? And it does, at least from my perspective, it feels much more, if you want to say normal, it's not surprising to see and hear about women working in the NFL, but where do you think it goes from here to take that next step?
Well, I think you hit it on the head. It's about continuing to make this a normal dialogue. So it no longer has to be this big public event when a team brings a female on board. It's no, hey, you know, like Jen King just got hired with the Chicago Bears. Chicago Bears hire assistant running backs coach. Like, she's qualified. She got the job. She interviewed for the job. And I think continuing to create the normalcy around that narrative and saying that we hired this coach because but she was the best candidate for the job. And that's why we hired her. As we continue to have those conversations and create that more normal dialogue, you know, the more, you know, common this will become. And I think the other step and the other part of that is continuing to invest in the women who are in the positions that they're in. So I think we'll really reach a state of further progress when the women who are hired in these entry-level roles continue to grow through their organizations. That's when I think we're really going to continue. And it's starting to happen. Like, it's happening, you know, it happened for me as I've kind of grown through the Browns. You know, it's happened for a lot of us. As that continues to happen, this whole mission and this whole movement continues to grow as women excel and get promoted and climb up the ranks in their individual organizations.
You touched on Coach Buddy Tevens, your head coach at Dartmouth, a little while ago. And I'll just be honest with you. Unfortunately, unfortunately passed away in the fall. And I'm embarrassed to admit he wasn't really on my radar until that happened. And then once that news came out, I read so much about his legacy, the work that he did, whether it was, you know, diversity in coaching, also the things that he did for player safety. And I'm just curious, you know, having you on, and I'm sure it's a bit of an emotional subject for you, but I was hoping you could just kind of share a little bit with us about your relationship with him and his legacy in coaching. Cause I do think he is a name that the average football fan should know more about.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. You know, Buddy's the reason that I'm here. You know, he's the reason that my career has gotten to this point. He was my first real opportunity and the first person who really saw something in me and said, you're going to be a good football coach. And throughout my time at Dartmouth, he consistently developed me as a coach, as a person, as a leader. And to have somebody in a leadership role like that, investing you in that capacity is game changing. And there's so many things that I learned from Buddy that season with him that I still fall back on today. I mean, he had such an influence in my life as a person and in my life as a coach. And it's so hard to put in words how incredible of a human being he was. He cared so much and so deeply about everybody around him. He invested every facet of himself into those things. Whether you be a player, a coach, support staff, whatever it is, Buddy made you feel like family and like one of the most important people in the world. And even after I left Dartmouth, when I went to Buffalo, he would text me once a week when I got to Cleveland. It text me once a week just to check in and say, you know, hey, and after games, win, lose, or draw, I got a text from Buddy. He was just a remarkable human being, more so like he was a remarkable coach. But I think if you remember him as a coach, you have to remember him as a person too, because he was an incredible human being. And his legacy, you know, speaks for itself, what not only what he did in the sphere of promoting women in football and seeing the value and trying to speak on the value that it brings and how important it was for people to start talking about it. But the player safety thing was game changing. And it changed the trajectory of a lot of players' college career at Dartmouth. And it started to make people take notice of, hey, if I'm recruiting this player and telling their parents that I'm going to do everything I can to give them the best 4 years of their life, I need to think about this category too. And it was really, really incredible to see the things that he did to put his players first. That's what it was about. And the bigger thing for him too was saving the game and protecting the game, because it was the game that we all loved. And he was an advocate for that.
Absolutely. Like I said, back during football season, Peter King did a wonderful job of kind of eulogizing Buddy. If you're interested and you should be, please go read up a little bit more on that. As for you, this is your second year working with receivers in Cleveland. And I also, correct me if I'm wrong, so you ran the receiver position at the Senior Bowl this year, did you not?
I did, yeah, for the national team.
So I'm just curious, over the last 12, 18 months, I mean, you have to have absorbed so much about this job. What stands out to you about what you've picked up and how you've grown here over the last year or so?
Yeah, I would agree. And one thing I want to put note on is, you know, our wide receiver coach, Chad O'Shea, I can't say enough about him, not only as a coach, but just how he's invested in me over the past couple of years. And I was prepared for that opportunity at Senior Bowl because of what I've learned from him. So I've been really fortunate to have the person that I work so closely with every day be the kind of teacher and leader that he is. It's been amazing how much I've learned and grown from him and how much he's invested in me to help me become a better coach and help me eventually be prepared to lead a room at some point. But I would say, you know, just the growth in all of it is learning through the relationships with players. And the biggest thing that I think, you know, is the difference between good coaches and great coaches is communication, because that's the core of what we do, how we communicate information, how we communicate, you know, coaching points and so forth. And I've just been able to sit back and then also in practice, learn, you know, how to be the best communicator that I can be so that I'm giving the information to the players so that when Sunday comes, they can go out and play as fast as they can. And that's been awesome for me to learn over the past couple of years, both from Coach O'Shea and the other coaches that I've been around. And I really took it to practice at Senior Bowl, and that was an awesome opportunity for me.
So y'all in Cleveland already have Amari Cooper, who for my money is one of the most underrated receivers in the NFL. And then you, this offseason, trade for Jerry Jeudy. And I'm just curious, from your perspective, how does that go for the receivers coach and the assistant receivers coach? Like, did you have time to watch tape of Jerry in Denver and be like, yeah, we would love to have this guy here? Or were you doing something completely different and you get a call like, guess what? Jerry Jeudy's in your room now. Like, how does that go?
Yeah, no, I mean, he was definitely on our radar and somebody that we've watched, you know, and got to explore his tape and the things that he was doing in Denver. And Jerry's an exciting player to watch. I mean, he's dynamic. And, you know, when we got word that we traded for him, you just can't help but be excited to add that kind of a weapon to the room. On top of that, you know, he's since we've communicated with him, been awesome and very excited. So I think he adds a great element to the room, both on the field and off the field. So we're excited. But yeah, he was somebody who we watched tape on. And when we found out that we traded for him, you can't help but be excited about it.
Like we said, the grind starts here. I mean, it's already less than 2 weeks and it doesn't really stop until football season's over. I guess maybe you get a couple weeks in July, but once this thing gets going in April, it kind of snowballs. So I'm just obviously a phenomenal season in Cleveland last year. What are you looking forward to the most about this next year with the Browns in general, but also the Cleveland receiver room as well?
Yeah. You know, for our room, just excited to continue to grow, you know, utilizing the group that we have. You know, you named Amari and Jerry, you know, you've got Elijah, really excited to see Cedric in his second year. You know, there's a lot to be excited about. And the good thing about that room is they're just never satisfied. So yeah, great season last year, but everybody's going into it with the mentality and the attitude of how do we take this up a notch? So excited to start that process. Cause that does, just like you said, start in a couple of weeks, you know, us cranking it up and setting the tone starts with what we do when we report in April. You know, and then just for the team in general, I'm just so excited to see how, you know, we continue to grow together. And I thought what we were able to accomplish last year, considering the things we were going through, was awesome. And it's a great foundation to build off of. Obviously, all 32 teams deal with having to have new faces and say goodbye to old faces. But I'm really excited to see how this team comes together. I think, you know, we have a lot to be excited about going into this year.
Yeah, it's easy to forget here in April now, but yeah, I mean, if your receivers room can have a year like that with five different starting quarterbacks, hopefully, you know, the sky's the limit if you can keep it to like one or maybe even two. So we'll see how it goes. Callie Brownson, I appreciate the time so much. Thank you for stopping by.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks so much again to Callie Brownson for the time. Like I said, stay tuned to the channel. Make sure you're subscribed. Spotify, Apple Podcasts, maybe even leave us a review because we got more coming for you. Bucky Brooks is back tomorrow. I'm going to pepper him with so many draft questions, so much to learn, and not a lot of time to do it. We are into April, 2024 NFL Draft, just about 3 weeks away. Bucky is going to make sure we are caught up, everything we need to know heading into draft weekend. So stick here, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you prefer to do it. On all of the social feeds at NFL on Fox Pod, whether that's X, Twitter, whatever they call it, Instagram, TikTok, you know the drill. Wherever you get it, you can find us there, and we will be back Thursday to talk to Bucky Brooks. I appreciate it. I'll catch y'all next time.